Bob, thank you. Yeah, so by the way, we are going to receive an offering for Georgian at the end of the service, and if you want to make out checks, do not make them out to New Heritage Community, but make them out to Global Celebration, okay? Global Celebration. We have a basket in the back of the room to receive those. But I'm so excited to introduce Georgian, okay? I've had this introduction in my heart for over a week. And So I am so thrilled to be able to do this today. So can I get control here, guys? Back?
I want control.
How many of you have eaten at Mission Barbecue before? Okay. And those of you that haven't, you know what Mission Barbecue is, right? Yeah. Okay. Near your house. Yeah. So the last time Georgian was with us last year, he and I went to lunch at Mission Barbecue. And I know the manager there, his name is Craig. And I said, Craig, I want to introduce you to my friend Georgian. This is his first time at Mission Barbecue. And of course, they're very friendly there. And he goes, oh, man, welcome. So glad that you could be here at Mission Barbecue. And I said, also, I want you to know that Georgian is a veteran. And if you don't know, they honor veterans and first responders and all. And I said, Georgian is a veteran. He goes, whoa, thank you for your service. And I said, he's a veteran of the Russian army. And he was like, whoa. He didn't know what to say after that. So that was a lot of fun. And so what I'm going to share with you next is carrying on with that military theme. But I want to, and at first you're going to go, what in the world? Why is he talking about this? But just bear with me a minute. I'm not going to be long. But a week ago Friday, I had the privilege of going up to Annapolis to an award ceremony called the Distinguished Graduate Award. And there's two criteria for this award. One is the person has to be living, and the other is that they have to have done something really exceptional with their lives. So they've been giving this award for 20 years, and over those 20 years, there are roughly 70,000 people who could received that award, and only 91 recipients. So that kind of gives you an idea how special it is. One of this year's recipients was not able to make it. He did pass away before the ceremony, and that was Senator John McCain. Yeah. So two of my classmates have received the award, and you see on the right there, Admiral Bob Willard. He played football together and graduated together. Unfortunately, he was an amazing admiral, the head of the whole Pacific Command, not just the Navy, but everything. And but he's most known for the fact that he flew in the movie Top Gun. So it's kind of like the actor or actress, you know, they always know you for the movie that you least wish they would remember you about. So when I saw Bob, I said, Bob, so which plane did you fly? He said, all of them. So there were five recipients. Bob was one of the five. And the woman on the left, Captain Wendy Lawrence, she was the youngest of the recipients. She graduated in 1981, and she was a part of the first graduating class of women, second graduating class of women from the Naval Academy. So just the second class. Well, anyway, Wendy tells her story that when she was 10 years old, that's when we landed on the moon. And Wendy said, I want to be an astronaut, when she's 10 years old. At that time, women weren't even admitted to the Naval Academy. And her dad had been a famous naval aviator, POW, a Vietnam War POW. Her grandfather had been a famous naval aviator. And she says, I want to go to the Naval Academy. I want to be an aviator and be an astronaut. And her dream was fulfilled. She's actually flown on three missions into space. And she's retired now as a Navy captain. But here's why I'm mentioning all of this. Back in 1992, there was a Baltimore Sun article on Wendy. It happened to be July 26, 1992. She had just been selected for the astronaut program. So they said to her, what is your philosophy of life? And Wendy said, my philosophy of life is this. Know your comfort zone and stay out of it. Know your comfort zone and stay out of it. So I've used that phrase often. I've pondered it. I've occasionally tried to apply it to my own life. But as I've thought about it today, I thought, that's our brother Georgian. From early on in his life, when he was living in Bulgaria and listening to the Beatles on a shortwave radio, and then starting a rock band, and then subsequently fleeing from the communist rule and really escaping to the United States, to California, his journey there, coming to faith, and all that his life has represented since then. Georgian, you're a man that, in my estimation, has defined your comfort zone, and you have stayed out of it. Yeah, yes, amen. So let's welcome our brother. We want to honor him this morning. Let's honor him. Come on, yes, amen. We love this man. Thank you.
Bless him. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I feel very honored. Thank you, Randy. One more hand for the amazing worship band. You guys are so blessed with it. I was trying to make it for earlier to set up and play, but it didn't make it. But I just want to always tell you how wonderful this band is and what a presence of the Lord they always lead. And it's just, it's always in my mind, you know. You're blessed. Amen. Susie is our intercessor for nearly 20 years now, maybe a little over. Susie and Rob, her son is here. And Susie and Mike has been just amazing couple that forged into the invisible but powerful realm of intercessor and just prophetically. And now that we started the school about 5 years ago, we're going on six, but Susie has developed this intercessory hour prior to the start of the school, and it's like a workshop. It's like really a part of the school. It's like a part of the curriculum, because everything that we teach during the school, they already experienced the hour before. Very prophetic, and so that's amazing, Susie. Thank you so much for your awesome contribution. Only in heaven we get to see who did what and partook, you know. But we all have our part to play, and we're all going to get rewards for how we responded. So at this age of my life, I'm thinking about that more and more, about the rewards. Not that, you know, we do things with that kind of a agenda, but it's the Lord who says that at the last day there'll be a judgment, day of judgment, a throne of judgment or whatever. But for believers, is basically a moment of evaluation, I would say, of how we've responded, because there's no judgment for believers. As much as I've read the Bible and studied for the last 40 years, the only thing that he will, in my estimation, will try to figure out how much he can bless you. So depending how we responded to what he is saying to us and what he's to him, you know, and to his will, is going to get these amazing rewards, some gold, some silver, those type of different types of rewards. I don't know all about it, but I'm thinking about that nowadays. You can just wonder what would be that gold and what would be that silver and precious stones and things. And of course, some things will be like paper and straw. They're going to burn out in the presence. His presence is fiery, as we know, and consuming. So the only thing that will remain is those things that can remain through fire. In a natural, we understand what gold does, how, though purified, but remains 100% through fire, you know, and silver and things like that. So encouragement to keep responding to the Lord and keep, you know, do your best into cooperating with him, because you're going to get bigger and better rewards, whatever that would be. I don't know, but how many know what I'm talking about? You've been thinking about that? How many have been thinking about that? Yeah. Yeah, it's not something you think often, because again, we just serve the Lord because we love him and worship him, but yet he's a God of rewards. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Amen. Amen. So part of our passion that He's given us is working with the poorest of the poor, widows and orphans. Those are the three categories. My wife is passionate about the poorest of the poor, like people in the most difficult condition, such as garbage dump community, life in the garbage dump. You can imagine people who are born and raised in a garbage dump. It's just like most garbage dumps do not have running water. In fact, I think none of them that I've seen have running water or electricity for the workers, because they work on it and live right off of it. And so that doesn't get any worse than that. Besides eating often from stuff that people have thrown away, they're hard workers actually. They recycle for living. And so my wife's favorite thing is to visit and just hang out, spend a day visiting the people who work there. And if we can bring water or handkerchiefs for their faces to cover from the smoke and things, little things like that. And if we develop a relationship, then we could make a feast. And that's another level that we love going into. But it has to be a relational thing. We have to meet people there who are leaders, and we can organize it. So the one that's closest to you, in case you're thinking about maybe checking that with us, is Tijuana, which is on the other coast, down by just across the border over San Diego. And we've been going there for about 7 years now, 8 years in a row. Next year will be 8 years, usually around November, first part of November. And, you know, it develops. First, just visiting, loving, and hugging, and, you know, compassion. But then start bringing things and food. And my wife goes, you know, we're bringing food here, but I don't like that we give it away, the food on plastic, paper, plates and stuff, because that's what they do, recycling. So next year I would love to have China, real China, serve the delicious steak tacos on China plates. And I'm going, how do you bring China plates from the U.S. for 400 people or 450 people? Like, I'm not saying it to her, but I'm just thinking, you know, because my wife has these ideas that I learned not to say no, you know, and not to question or fight against, although some of them ideas seem unreasonable for me. Practically, I mean, it's not like the money about it, but how do you bring China plates? You know, things break like that. Anyways, I go, oh, well, China, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I learned not to object, you know, when it's in the Lord like that. And sure enough, we just spread the word, and China plates showed up. People who came along brought China plates. And so we had China plates, and they kept the China plates after the food. Next time she goes, that was better. That was good. But sitting in these rocks, and because it's right on the garbage dump. Anything that they have, little houses, they're made from garbage materials. So she goes, we need tables and chairs. And again, rolling my eyes in my mind, I'm thinking, tables and chairs for 400 people, it's just really out there. Like, but again, whatever, honey, you know. And guess what? Tables and chairs showed up for that community. It was the two settings, the earlier one around 6 o'clock, and then the later one, they left and the others came. So we had like 200 at the time. And then she says, I want you all to be dressed in like black and white shirts and things like that, and serve so people can sit down. And then we serve them. They don't come on the line, but we serve them. Like a restaurant. I mean, totally restaurant. Like white cloth tables, some tables for eight, then for six, for four, and even for two. There's several people gave tables for two. It was like a romantic dinner with fresh cut flowers and candles on the very garbage dump. Like a like a five-star French restaurant with an atmosphere. Especially when it got dark, it was just very beautiful and romantic. And then a musician, she always wants to have music. I'm playing my super expensive violin on the garbage dump. I have a cheaper one, but I got tired of connecting the wire, and I forget. I said the Lord's been kind to keep my expensive violins intact. And so we are serenading, playing songs in the spirit on the spot, you know, and it's just an amazing atmosphere. So at the end of this dinner that we had with the tables now, I'm finishing, it's 9 o'clock, and I sat down by next to this couple, and I'm talking to them, and the lady speaks a little English. So I says, so how long you guys been married? And she says, we're not married. We just lived together for about 6 years. I go, wow. And I says, well, why don't you get married? You live together. And she goes, I talk to the guy. So I'm going, hey, buddy, what's up with this? You obviously love this woman. Why don't you just marry her? And he says, through a translator, but she says, how do I start a family on a garbage dump? You know, and I go, well, yeah, I get your point, but I mean, God loves marriages. It's his idea. So you love each other, so why don't you just get married? God will bless you and maybe get you out of here. So he go, well, maybe. And so would you like to get married, like, right now? He's looking, because I'm a minister. I could marry you if you want to. So they look at each other, sure. So the table cloth becomes her gown. I mean, the body of Christ is so creative. And the flowers are there, of course. And two rings showed up from New York City. Someone, the Lord told them to bring these rings. And exactly fit them. And it was just one of those spontaneous, amazing times. At the end, you know, we led them to the Lord. First the vows to Jesus, then the vow to each other. And it just everything like that. At the end, we did a love offering for them, and we packed a big jar full of money, dollars. And the following year, which is 2 years ago, we arrived, and they were the first to run down to see us from the top of the barbecue, and hugging us and thanking us. Our life has changed with the money you gave us. We bought a little truck. Now we have a business, and we're getting better and prospering. And I go, wow, that's so good. And we're just loving on him. And says, so do you want to do something else besides what you're doing? He says, yeah, actually, I'd love to be a shrimp fisherman for shrimp. In the Gulf. And I'm going to not Gulf, but what's the Baja there? What's that? Sufficient, yeah. Right. And so I just said, let's pray for it. So we start praying for them, for God to get them prospered. And then another couple from the garbage dump comes, and another one, and they both said, would you marry us too? Because the blessing has come on them. And I'm going, all right. And make this story short, by the end of the, by the time we start the food, 15 couples wanted to get married. 15 couples. So we did a spontaneous wedding for 15 people. One of the people, one of our team people, as a professional artist, and the Lord told her to bring her makeup kit specifically. So she says, makeup kit in the garbage dump, why? Just bring it. So now they made a makeup for all the 15 ladies. It was just one of those amazing things. And then the next year, which is last November, we show up. Now people are bringing real gowns from their wedding gowns, from their weddings. I mean, we had like 30-some gowns. And again, no running water. So somebody brought a thing of water. So as the ladies are coming from the garbage dump, they began to clean him and wash him and prepare. Somebody brought a big van where you could stand and see with the mirror and to see the fitting. I mean, it was like totally like 12 weddings with the real dresses. Guys got suits, rings for everybody, and even children. There was children because they have children. One couple has been living on a garbage dump for 50 years. He was 83. He could barely walk, but we married him. I mean, it was just amazing. If you want to see these pictures on my personal George and Banoff Instagram, if you enjoy that, to see some of the couples look like like model, and yet 2 hours ago she was collecting trash, but with being fixed and being loved on. It's just like you cannot believe that this how God transforms, you know. And we got a chance to lead them all to the Lord. And the children are so happy because now there's honor to mom and dad. They're married officially. Bethel Base is doing a marriage counseling and helping them to get the certificates because it's not cheap to do that. And so they're working on all this official. Some of them don't even have papers because if you're born in a garbage dump, you don't have official identity papers unless you're born in a hospital. So they're working on all that. And this is some of the transformation that Jesus is pushing through. Not just to meet the basic need, but the extra. God is the extraordinary lover. He's not a normal loving. His love is extraordinary. Everything about God is extraordinary. So listening to my wife has been a blessing to me. I look really good next to her. I look like I'm doing all this. It's basically I'm just barely green. But you know, now I get the credit. Not that I get the credit, but just telling the stories, you know. Wow. And all that is the extravagance of God. The extravagant love of God is what I'm learning from that. Seeing, honestly, I would not be in a garbage dump playing violin if it wasn't of my wife. Not because I don't like people, love people, but because it's very difficult for me to handle the way people live there. Humans should not live like that, you know. But my wife is tough. She's got a tough heart, and she says, let's go. And right now she's at they're crossing the border between Greece, northern Greece and Bulgaria. They're going to go to another a garbage dump situation. She's leading a team of 38 people or something from Bethel. She's, you know, we connected to Bethel school, our school. We have one of our students, Amanda from Florida, actually, all the way from Florida. Stand, Amanda. Do we have any amazing young leader and a servant? And do we have any other students? I just want to miss out. Okay. So wonderful school, connected to Bethel. And so she's leading them into the Muslim area. They were just with the refugees. They just loved on refugees in Thessaloniki, Iranian mainly. And then now they're going toward crossing from Philippi into Bulgaria. Philippi is the first church that Apostle Paul established in Europe, and it's just like 50 miles from the Bulgarian border. Bulgaria is part of Macedonia, and where the gospel started actually in Europe. So we have first century, impact from Paul directly, you know, from his disciples and sons and so forth. Anyways, proud of her. Just talked to her this morning a little bit. My heart is for orphans. And in the last 25 years, we've been supporting orphans. Now, our orphan base is in three continents. We have different orphanages, and we have close to 600 children that we take care of, not just food and shelter, but we support them all the way through high school and into college. My idea is like, not my idea, but God's idea is that former slaves today, not all of them, but 30, one third, like 200 of those children are former child slaves, from child soldiers, forced labor, or sex labor. This is the type of trafficking in three areas that's happening, horrible. But I believe like today's slaves, God wants to raise the tomorrow's leaders that will, the ultimate goal is to end child trafficking. But when we're gone to be with the Lord, those leaders will keep it that way. You know, yeah. Our job is to raise them and to push the end of child trafficking. I think together we can do it, especially if we combine together with our Catholic brothers and sisters. Anybody from Catholic background? I love Catholics. In fact, we're doing something for the first charismatic Catholic community in the U.S. happened to be outside Washington, D.C. I don't know if you know that.
The Mother of God community?
Yes, yeah, the Mother of God community. And one of the leaders there, his name is Mark. He's a businessman. And I forget his last name, but of course, one of the fathers of D.C., Catholic fathers. Anyways, it's amazing. I love the early Catholic doctrine. I study it. It's very close to what we believe, actually, being spirit-filled Protestants. You know, we're Protestants, but our indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ in me, hope of glory, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is what the early Catholic book says. They believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. They don't practice necessarily, but it's in the canon. And so these guys from this community, shortly after Azusa, they receive the Holy Spirit as and they're the first. Till this day, they're still active in being charismatic, filled with the Spirit, Catholic. Then the second one is in Ann Arbor, much bigger base, and of course, Seattle. There's another whole big charismatic renewal in the '60s happened, and I believe God's gonna bring a massive move of God among, especially under this Pope. He changed their name from Charismatic Catholics. Now it's called Current of Grace, the official name from the Pope, and he's very favorable and protective, and you know, honoring this. So we have an opportunity to see a huge revival among our Catholic brothers and sisters, Spirit-filled. Amen. So I'm believing with that. And again, the early doctrine that which I studied theology is, Roman Catholic Church is from where? Rome, right? And who started the Roman, the identity is Book of Romans. The letter was written. I mean, you don't get any more accurate than that. So that's the beginning of the most powerful community that endured persecution and severe treatment by Rome, yet undefeatable. If you go to our mission trip with the Steps of Paul, this year is going to be Rome and Bulgaria. Bulgaria would be with the Gypsies, and then prior to that, we'll go to Rome for 3 or 4 days. And what we're going to do is celebrate. I mean, when I go to Rome, of course, there's a lot of beautiful things to see and so forth. But what I see there, I see everywhere the triumph of Christianity. Because here's this empire that could defeat all of Europe, conquer Europe, Middle East, Northern Africa, yet a handful of believers in their backyard, they cannot do nothing to them. They persecute them, they will kill them, and it gets worse because the way we die, the way Christians die, is so powerful that more people get saved from seeing those public executions. So they will stop it because it gets worse. You cannot stop the Church of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. You can. There's nothing the devil can do. There's nothing no one can do. We are ever growing. We're the largest group of believers in the world, especially together, Protestant and Catholics. We're 2.2 billion. Wow. Hello. 2.2 billion. This is a current statistic. Woo! I mean, it's unstoppable. Even though you may not feel like it, but you're part of the ever-growing procession. God leads us to a procession, ever-growing, never ending. Maybe you don't feel like that sometime, but I'm telling you, it gets better and it gets bigger, and that's the kingdom of God is ever expanding. Ever expanding. Ooh. Come on. If you come to Israel with us, you're gonna see what's happening in Israel. There's massive conversions happening. Massive conversions. Jesus. Come on, somebody. If you go in Jerusalem on Christmas, you'll see thousands, tens of thousands of people, Jewish people from everywhere, coming to Jerusalem and going into the Christian churches, Arab churches, looking for something. Wow. It's amazing. I have Messianic friends there. They're saying it's staggering what's happening. In the last 2-3 years, it's increasing. Ooh, one of my friends in Ashkat, is that down near Gaza? Ashkat is the old city where the Philistines held the ark, captured the ark. Yeah, and where the hemorrhoid epidemic exploded. Okay. That's how I remember it. I don't remember Ashkat, but I remember what happened there. They got a heavy case of hemorrhoids from the. No preparation age. No preparation. So they released the ark because they finally figured that's what's happening. This discomfort is coming from them capturing the ark. Anyways, in that city today, it's very close to Gaza. I have an amazing messianic fellowship, beautiful brothers, a lot of Russians and so forth. And so we celebrate together. This pastor, his name is Israel. He has led in the last 3 years 3,000 Israeli to Jesus. 3,000 in feast, in like big feast, in celebration. And I'm going, how do you get away with it? He says, well, we do it during Shabbat. And the religious Jews are not around, and so we just take the advantage and we just throw feast and music and food, and Israeli come and they celebrate, and we start talking to them about Jesus, and they accept Jesus. Come on, somebody. Not exaggerating. This is what God is doing. God is in the mood. I feel like the number of Gentiles is coming up. You know, and what will happen when the number of Gentiles is completed? The veil of of Israel will lift off. And it's going to be the biggest party I've ever seen. Yes, amen. The biggest party I've ever seen. Come on, get ready. Get ready for feast. Slaughtering the fatted calf. God is a celebrative God. He's paid a price for the salvation of all mankind. Come on. And he's that's what global celebration name comes from. Because he says in a parable of the prodigal son, Lord gave me the name for global celebration by explaining to me the whole story as the prodigals are coming. That's the global harvest, as the ones who he's called to be sons, but they're messing around or they're just lost or whatever they are. Finally, they're coming to senses. There's a coming to the senses. There's a coming to the senses. As things getting worse and worse, and people begin to feel like mistreated, like even worse than pigs, you know, or more or less valid than pigs. That's what the world does. You know, the darkness increases and people start feeling like lower and lower, you know, in value. Then suddenly the senses come. They're coming to their senses. And the father is so excited. He's running to greet them. The grace of God is so, it's almost like, really? You don't keep in mind all that they've done, and God is a forgiving God, and he's shockingly forgiving. Some of us sometimes are like the older brother. Hey, what are you doing? They ripped you off. They took the money and everything. And now you're loving them more. You know, sometimes we get into that spirit. But God says, don't get into that spirit. Be like the servants. Go get the fatted calf. Slaughter it. Prepare the barbecue. And then as the barbecue is going on, get into the celebration spirit. We must celebrate because our son was dead. Now he's coming alive. And so as they're approaching the house was, you could hear singing and dancing, the Bible says. Okay, I can hear the singing and you can hear the music through music instruments singing. But how do you hear dancing? It didn't say see dancing, but hear dancing. Because they're going Their feet, exactly. They're hitting the floors and the house is shaking. You hear dancing. Come on, church, get. Come on, get in that. And that's what the Lord says, do that and call yourself celebration. Celebrate. I need people to celebrate me of what I have done, what the price I've paid and the harvest. And when the souls are coming, you're not a grumpy party. Not like the older brother is grumpy. Religion gets grumpy because they themselves don't go in. The religious spirit keeps you away from the celebration. Get you into the works and get you into being, you know, legalistic and everything. But you're staying away from the Spirit of God that way. Amen. He said, join me. Come and help me celebrate for others. Because the world, when he comes, they come. We're not going to be judging them. But we're going to be celebrating God's grace for them. Amen. Just like for us. Amen. Yes. Woo, come on. I'm giving you some good news of great joy, upcoming great joy. That's what the angels gave to the shepherds. Good news. Don't be afraid. I'm giving you good news of great joy. We were just in Bethlehem, loving on the orphans and loving on the widows, Muslim widows. We've won their hearts in the last decade. We've been going there consistently. And you should see Muslim widows. You know, first of all, their faces are covered. They don't expose their faces to strangers. But we're no longer strangers. They've uncovered their faces. And they allow us to touch our ladies. Of course, women touching the women. They allow us to touch them, to pray for them in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is in the Quran as a healer. As a prophet, now they don't honor him as God, but they do honor him as a prophet. So we say, we'll take that. We'll take that. We'll go with that. And he wants to heal you now, like he did healing in the Quran. So they're okay. And you should see how we first time talked about that. After going there 5 years in a row, and we give them big bags of food and different things. But before we give them the food, we say, can we sing them some songs? And the leaders of the camp allowed us. Of course, we sing worship songs. Before you know it, the presence of God is coming. They're crying. They're weeping. They know what's happening to them. And we said, this is Jesus. He loves you. And can we pray for you? After a few years, every year we gain a little bit more, grounds, and trust is establishing. So I'm saying I'm going to go for it. So I said, this is Jesus here that's touching you. Now he wants us to heal you. Does anybody have any pain or sickness or any problem like that? They're all like staring at you. I'm going, pain. Okay, like headache or back pain or knee pain or some pain. Don't you have anybody like that? Finally, one of them stands up and says, we all sick, man. What are you asking us? Do we have pain? Of course. There's 11,000 people in this refugee camp. Not one doctor. So we all sick. I go, okay, well, Jesus is here. And that's how we started. And he began to heal. And now they're ready. Now they show us where their pain is, everything. And our ladies pray for them. And we dance. Widows don't dance. Muslim widows don't dance. Not these. These gals are dancing. And celebrating. I'm telling you, the transforming power of God is just, whoa. And so this next year, we're going to go on Valentine's Day, 14th of February, and we're going to have a banquet for all the widows in Bethlehem. We're ready planet. We're figuring everything out. We got the facility. We're talking about the menu. It's going to be beautiful. And we're going to have Muslim and Christian widows together. Amen. Muslim and Christian widows together. Never been done. Come on. Come on. You should. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Woo! Yeah, exciting. Woo, I feel the joy of the Lord. When did I start speaking? 11:30?
11:30.
Okay, so we keep that about 15 more minutes, no more. But just wanted to encourage you guys. Want to encourage you because it sometimes doesn't look like, but we are, the Lord is growing the body of Christ everywhere. Everywhere we go, we see, like in a neighborhood where we're going to Bulgaria in June that I mentioned, another phenomenon is happening. There's widows there, of course, the gypsies, but they're very marginalized in Europe, all over Europe, especially Eastern Europe. And every now and then, hate crimes come against them, and it's still because they still have rough, they're not integrated well with society, and there's just roughness. Anyways, our community that we work with, the leader of that gypsy community of 8,000 at the time, now is growing. We just fell in love and with he embraced their teaching, the anointing, this whole the 90s revival. Sort of like many of the Bulgarian leaders stopped associating with me because those revival manifestations in the 90s became scary for many of them. But the gypsies loved it. They don't mind being overtaken by the presence of God, falling on a dirty floor. They don't care. They don't have any reputation to lose anyways. But it was like this 90s revival, the shaking and the rolling and the laughter and everything. They loved it. So since then, we've been going there. So over 20 years now, we're ministering in this particular neighborhood, large neighborhood. And of course, he calls me dad. And so father-son relationship. And since the 90s, we've been going to services almost every day, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. People have been so hungry for God. And that's how we met here with you guys, because you've been touched by the same spirit with the Baltimore Alliance churches and everything. And so so every night they worship. So for the last 22 years, they've been doing services every night, worship. Since 97, every night. And as a result, the presence of God has camped on that neighborhood. And guess what? Crime is gone. He used to be like, selling women for the brothels of Europe, drugs, everything, and violent crime. No more of that. The presence of God has cleared the atmosphere, and crime is not. Police have not gone in there for now 20 years. Wow. Officially, they have not gone in there. They have not been needed to go. That's what revival does, the transformation. Amen? When are you going to come and blow the shofar? Oh, you do the shofar. You're the drummer right there. Okay, so we need both. Next year. Valentine's Day. Make your calendar. Mark your calendar. It's gonna refresh your marriage too, you know, because we all get touched. Come on. We all need it. Amen. We need it. First love over again. Over again, first love. The Lord is the Lord of love and Lord of joy and the Lord of love. Ooh, He's a joyful God. How many know that? He's a joyful God. Joy is not like a dessert. Okay, I can have the main dish and then now and then I'll have dessert. Joy is not a dessert. Joy is the steak. Joy is part of the steak. Love, joy, peace. Those are basics of what God is like. Amen. So I'm just releasing the joy of the Lord because He called me with particularly the ministry of joy and celebration of who God is. The more I celebrate Him, the more I realize who He is, how good He is, and how He sees me, and how He sees His people. This is what I'm growing into, seeing how God sees me and how God sees His people. He loves you. Not like, He's not a normal lover, okay? He's extraordinary. His love is extraordinary. extravagant, exactly, thank you, extravagant love. And his joy is not balanced. Like sometimes we think, okay, everything in moderation, moderation. Don't go too well. There's nothing balanced about God. Compared to us, humans, his extreme love, extreme joy, we cannot compare. Amen. We can't even comprehend it. But the Lord says, come on in. Come on in. Let me connect you with how happy I am. The Father is our Father is not grumpy. He's happy. Always. He doesn't go in and out of it. He's constantly happy. Constantly full of joy. It's not cheap joy. We're talking costly joy. The kind of joy to help endure the cross. Please, let's just look at that. River of joy, and for the joy, the river is of joy is sourced from heaven, but here on earth, it wasn't there until Jesus paid the price. Then he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of what is in heaven. Out of your belly. He spoke about the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given because he had not paid the price yet. He wasn't crucified yet. But on the cross, he paid the full price. Full price. There's nothing you can add to it. Just receive the Lord Jesus and the full price that he paid to make you ready for the Holy Spirit to flow through you. Woo! He paid to perfection. Jesus lived life to perfection, and the Father was absolutely pleased with the way his Son lived life on earth. And through Christ, he conquered, he opened up the human race to be invaded by heaven. Woo! And it's not based on your performance, but it's based on his performance. We judge ourselves and we find ourselves worthy or not worthy depending on how we've done. And God says, stop that. Because that either going to, you know, depress you or you're going to give you pride. If you didn't do well, you're going to get depressed. If you did well, you're going to get proud. Neither one is any good. Come on. I want to release all guilt and all religious performance evaluation and freedom from self-judgment and freedom to see how God sees you. Like a father sees his little son, he doesn't criticize his son. He always believes in him and try to help him. And you've been a father, you know what I'm talking about. When your boy is trying to learn how to ride a bike, you don't criticize him for not knowing how to ride the bike. You know he doesn't know, but you're there to help him, support him in the process. Amen. So you put these little wheels and this and that. You're basically holding the bike and running with your kid and say, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You balance him. Now and then it falls. But you pick him up. You don't go, you didn't do well. You don't do that. You say, come on, you're going to do it better. And that's how God is. Come on. You're going to do it better. Woo! Wow! Hallelujah. The older I get with the Lord, the more I realize these things. How he sees me, you know. Because I come from a self and critical spirit like that, not having even a dad to have to really show me anything. But the Lord is not my dad. The Lord is my dad. Woo! And talk about this is an interesting statement. I've never saw myself like that. But and actually, he always stretches me. But that's why he calls himself comforter. See, he wants to comfort you, you know, not just from situation that happening to you, but the fact that he stretches you constantly. So he constantly stretches you to believe for more, to see more, and then he comforts you. Come on. His Holy Spirit is called Comforter. Why? Because God always stretches. Come on, kid, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. And I immediately comfort you because I'm stretching you. But I'm also immediately comforting you because I'm there to help you, to support you. Not to live in your own pain, but to always support you. Always stretch you and always comfort you. Come on. Can we do a prophetic thing? Would you grab this hand? Okay, you stretch that way and I stretch this way. Okay, your wife is stretching you. Imagine, that's your wife and that's your dad stretching you. And then immediately the Holy Ghost is comforting you. Is that an illustration?
That's good.
That's a good illustration. Between my wife and my father, I get stretched all the time. But the Holy Spirit is always there comforting. It's going to do it. You're going to make it. No worries, no worries. Because I'm growing you and to see how good I am. And I want to make room for many. He's stretching us basically so we could serve many more. And serve them as sons and daughters serve. Not as slaves, but as sons and daughters. Amen. So he's enlarging us. Basically, the stretching is enlarging. So we can have a greater influence. Does that make sense? Yeah. So every one of you is a leader in the body of Christ. And not only leader, but also you are raising others to be leaders in the body of Christ. That's how I see the situation. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Ooh, so Father, thank you for this leadership. Sons and daughters raising leaders. And together, Lord, we're going to rise in our influence, and together we're going to gather with brothers and sisters from all over the world, and we're going to end child trafficking. Amen. Once and for all in our lifetime. Before we get to go to heaven, we're going to see dramatic end of child trafficking. It will be exceptions, not a rule. So we just agree in this right now, in Jesus' name. We agree with this will happen, Lord. And we're just going to spread this faith that it's your faith, it's your will to end. The most vulnerable human beings on earth are children who cannot protect themselves. And unfortunately, moms and dads are not always there. And so we just pray for a new generation of mom and dads to rise with looking at children the way you see children, Lord. Precious, valuable. Oh, worth dying for. So we just release that revelation in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for being this morning, for listening to me and agreeing with me. I'm raising an agreement, army in agreement. The big project that we're you know, right now brainstorming in Hershey, we'll do a gathering in the arena there. There's an arena for 10,000 people, giant center it's called, but it's in Hershey Park. And we're going to have an event summer of next year, like 2020, July. It's going to be called Justice Cry. Justice Cry. And we're in the model, the biblical model is 1 Samuel chapter 7, where Israel was taken over by the Philistines and being trafficked, basically enslaved, used, abused, and so forth. So they ran to the prophet Samuel and say, cried out for us before the Lord because God hears your prayers. And so Samuel did, picked up a lamb, suckling lambs, actually says in an amplified baby lamb, type of Christ, and offer it as a sacrifice. As soon as the nostrils of God, the smoke of the sacrifice hit, he immediately responded and thundered over the enemy, and the enemy panicked. The Bible says they panicked. And it's easy to push panic in enemy. So enemy panicked, confusion came, and Israel pushed them out of the borders, and it says that the enemy could not cross back through the borders of Israel all the days of the prophet Samuel. That's how much authority one prophet, of course, he was a judge as well, a prophet, but that's how much. And then he poured anointing of that same authority over David. And David gets said the same thing about King David, that during his rule, Philistines could not cross the borders. And even to Solomon days, even though Solomon faltered in the end of his life, but God kept the borders and crossed, but for David's sake and for Samuel's sake. So this is the territorial border situation that we believe God's going to establish, starting with Hershey. Mr. Hershey started the chocolate factory there. He himself was child slave. He was a forced labor slave when he was a kid. So somehow he escaped and turned the whole thing around. And where he used to be a slave, he started his first orphanage. It's an amazing story of redemption. So the city's favorite for, you know, safe city and stuff like that, high standards. So we're negotiating together with the mayors and with the police chief and everything, so that the whole city and the governor of Pennsylvania is also very strong against child trafficking. So together we're going to form that first gathering as a community to say child traffic free zone, Hershey. And then we're going to do some things like that. So pray into it if you don't mind, and join me in prayer. We can make this and raise an army of moms and dads. Who together we can do in other places as well. So that's in short. Anyways, thank you again. I want to show you a video. We're going to end with that. Pastor will come to serve us an offering. We're going to even actually have envelopes. So you're going to watch the video. In the video, you'll see every child in that video is safe in our hands, raising again. All the way these kids are going to be educated, either skill school or college. We're ready to help them with college if they want college. If not, at least skill school, but we're raising the leaders of tomorrow. Amen. Thank you so much for considering that.